Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week, it's NFL week and week 12 of NFL, along with all NFL news, NFL studs and duds, and anything that really has to do with NFL this week.
Awesome. I like that. Yeah. The Final Play Podcast. It's like we're the Ohio State University. So,
oh, yeah. I always like that. Emphasize that. You've got to emphasize that because there's no other Final Play Podcast. So.
No, that's right. Yeah, we're the Final Play Podcast.
Let's get into the scores for the week. So the Texans beat the Colts 20-17. The Buccaneers beat the Falcons 35-22. The Bills 20-3 over the Broncos. The Bears are beating the Giants 19-14. The Steelers beating the Bengals 16-10. The Miami Dolphins losing to the Browns 41-24. The Saints just getting over the Panthers in OT. OT or just before
no,
OT?
No, regular. Regulation.
Time was expiring. That's right. 34-31. The regulation. Jets smashing the Raiders 34-3. The Seahawks are beating the Eagles 17-9. The Redskins getting over the Lions 19-16. The Titans like obliterating the Jaguars 42-20.
The enigma that's the Titans. I've said it all year.
The Pats getting over the Cowboys 13-9. The 49ers just another obliteration, but really flexing their muscles against the Packers 37-8. And speaking of muscles, in the Monday night game, Ravens, smashing the really, really hapless Rams, 45-6.
Oh, man, the Rams are just in a tailspin at the moment.
Well, okay, if we start with that game, it's what I've sort of said at the start again, and I still think I don't rate Jared Goff. He was tipped to be an elite in the NFL. Well, I think he signed before he started. What was it, $30 to $35 million a year?
He's been paid like it,
and he has been and look, I guess signing him.
All the talk was always that he was a system quarterback, and it's almost ringing true that yes, he is a system quarterback because his first tenure. I can't think of the coach. Was it Jeff Fisher? I think he was the coach of the Rams when he was there, and he looked just god awful, like absolutely awful. And he looked terrific last year, but they've been banged up on the offensive line.
10-3 last
year,
and that's probably why they signed him to that big contract. So on a 10-3 season, and you get that, but. Man, and that's $110 million guaranteed money too, by the way.
$134 total.
That is the worst contract that I can remember.
Worst contract.
I was going to emphasize everything. The worst contract. I don't know.
Todd Gurley's contract. Have a look at Todd Gurley's contract as well. Like, he's just – I don't know what it is. Like, why has he had such a huge decline?
I think there's something more. I think that we were saying this a couple of weeks ago. I think it's more to that injury that he had coming into that Super Bowl than I guess we had led to believe. But, yeah.
Nothing's coming out. So there's got to be somebody in LA digging. There's got to be somebody there digging to try and find out what on earth is going on there with Todd Gurley. Like, 6 rushes for 22 yards. Like, and he had 3 catches for minus 3 yards.
Yeah, Jared Goff and Todd Gurley will make.
Happen.
They will both make a combined $54 million next year. Jared Goff and Todd Gurley.
unbelievable.
And full credit. The thing is, I think I like that game for the fact of Lamar didn't have to play. Lamar didn't play that well, but he didn't play that bad either.
He played terrible. 5 touchdown passes, 8 rushes for 95 yards. Yeah, he was terrible.
I should have corrected myself. His passer rating was great. I just meant his yardage. Yeah. I don't know if it was on the back of, I think it wasn't as good as that when he was getting those 200 or 300 pass yards.
No. Just little dinky dunk because... passes. Nothing huge down the field or anything like that. Like none of his wide receivers or tight ends, you know, made anything sort of huge yardage. Mark Ingram had 111 yards on the ground with a catch touchdown and a rush touchdown. So, you know, happy for I love Mark Ingram, and I'm happy that he's still, you know, putting up good numbers, you know, in another situation there in Baltimore. Like I think he's a terrific running back.
And that's what I think is sort of. I mean, yes, Lamar Jackson did throw 5 touchdown passes, but they were just in those short yardages. So, which is always good, I suppose, for a quarterback that you can close in that red zone. So,
that's right. Yeah, you can you know, unfortunately, there's plenty of teams out there that get to the red zone with decent quarterbacks and simply just can't put it in the end zone, and instead of getting 7, they only get 3.
I don't know what happens to the Rams from here.
I know they don't make the playoffs.
Well, they're 6-5, so they're still in a winning season, but they don't make the playoffs. I think they haven't done anything to prove that they're going to keep winning games. That's pretty much what I took out of that.
Well, the thing is too, like they're in a division too that's got San Francisco, who's the best team in the NFC, and the same division as the Seahawks. So 3 teams out of that division is going to make the playoffs. I don't think so, unless either Minnesota or Green Bay completely just crap the bed, you know, in that regard. You know, the two wild card spots are still Minnesota and Seattle for the NFC. So it's going to take a big drop off from Minnesota, who's playing great, and they're going to have to completely turn it around.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, man. I
don't see it happening. Not to say that it won't. I can't see it happening. Like it's.
They're going to have to schedule,
but they must still have divisional games. And
they're 3 games behind for a wild card position. So
exactly. So it just makes it so hard for them now to try and get even that bottom wild card spot.
And their run home is, except for Cowboys, is all divisional games. They got Cardinals, Seahawks, Cowboys, 49ers, and then Cardinals again. So
they're in a lot of strife. You know, they might be able to knock off the Cardinals a couple of times, but other than that, they just don't look like. It's, you know, it almost rings true every year, you know, the Super Bowl hangover.
I'd go with that.
And where the teams have figured them out as well, like, you know, they're hampered on offense as well. I think, did Brandon Cooks, I didn't end up seeing the game, but, you know, Brandon Cooks has been hurt this year. Woods has been hurt this year.
Cooper Kupp plays this year.
But that's the thing. If Goff can't get protected, then it makes it hard for Cooper Kupp to get open. So
that's exactly right.
Yeah, and he would have been. You know, Cooper Kupp would have been trailed by Marcus Peters most of that night.
Yeah.
And you know, and you know, just sort of a little bit of a side note, but yeah, I don't know what sort of come out from it, but at the after the end siren there, the Jalen Ramsey and Marcus Peters sort of had themselves some interesting words to each other after the game. Looked like there was a bit of jawing going on after the game, which was a bit odd because, you know, they're sort of, you know, opposing safety. So, yeah, they were sort of looked like they were having a go at each other, but nothing sort of come out of it, or nobody's come out and said what was said. But, yeah, looked like they were sort of having some heated words afterwards.
Yeah, no, I must have missed that. I didn't see that at all.
Oh, I just seen the video. It was just a real quick video. And as they were panning over everybody, they'd sort of pan to those two. And I think Jalen Ramsey had his helmet off and Peter still had his helmet on. And they were just, there was lots of nodding. So it looked like there was some exchange of pleasantries, shall we say.
Yeah, so a few other games. The 49ers, I mean, they are really flexing their muscles. beating a very, very good Packers side this week, 37-8.
I just don't think Green Bay likes California weather. Like, I don't know what it is. they went to LA and they pooped themselves, and now they've gone to San Francisco and double pooped themselves.
The good thing is it was a shared offensive game for the 49ers. It looks like George Kittle is slowly getting back to what George Kittle did last year, getting 129 yards with a touchdown.
Oh man, he's big. He's big for Jimmy G and the success, of that offense. Like their run game has sort of tailed off a little bit. They were really a real dominant sort of run team. I think, where the teams are starting to figure them out and starting to stack the box a little bit more to say, okay, we're not going to let you beat us with your running game. We're going to make you beat us with the passing game. And so far, they look like they're doing the job.
Yeah, on the back of their defense as well. That's they are, I think now they're the second best defensive team in the NFL behind the Pats still.
Nick Bosa, like he's turned into like the scariest man for a quarterback in the NFL. Like you just don't want to see number 97 bearing down on you. He's unbelievable.
And then they had Fred Warner. Like all I could see him was tackle. Like he ended up getting the linebacker for the 49ers, Fred Warner. He ended up getting 11 a sack as well, but 11 solo tackles, which is pretty hard, really.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so, 11 solo tackles and one sack. So that's, that's extremely hard to do for a solo tackle for for any defensive player, I suppose.
No, that's right, yeah. Usually they're gang tackles, mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people in a tackle. Well, that's what it seems like anyway, but especially when a running back goes through the middle, there's like 9 bodies on top of him.
Is it the first? How do they count that? Is it like the first person that brings them down, and then they say
I think they just sort of it's, I guess it's like the NRL. If it's a gang tackle, then that both of those people or three of those people get credited for the tackle, and then they have a stat of solo tackles. So if you're bringing down that ball carrier in in a one-on-one situation. But, solo tackles in the NFL, not that they're rare, but they don't happen as much.
Couple other games, but the next game that I was going to talk about was the Patriots and Cowboys. It was the worst. Well, okay, so it was a terrible weather game. It was raining, it was cold,
it was boring.
It was snowing.
It was pouring rain.
It was a shocking game, which I'm not using that as an excuse, but it was a shocking game to play for a quarterback. There was a little bit of a controversy with the where the Cowboys got called for penalized for both tripping penalties against Tyron Knight and Travis Frederick. Which weren't tripping at all.
There was two tripping. Apparently, there'd been like 5 tripping penalties all year, mm-hmm. and 7 total now all year, and 2 came in that game.
And the NFL come out and admitted that they should not have been called at all. So
they were egregious calls. They weren't an essential sort of tripping penalty like that. They definitely could have been not called.
But tripping aside, yeah, it's easy as a Cowboys fan to say, yep, we lost because they tripped. But at the end of the day, what happened in that game was Jason Garrett's calls. And I'm talking about the Jason Garrett call where he went for a shot at goal, I think it was like the third or fourth quarter, when clearly they were in the advantage and clearly they could have made – obviously they weren't going to give a passing game in that kind of terrible weather, but it's just I can't work out what Jason.
It was a short distance though, wasn't it? Was it a 4th and 3? But they were inside.
It was a 4th and 3.
It was something like that. Yeah,
on the 37 yard line.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. It was like a 4th and 3, and instead of going for it
with Ezekiel Elliott,
that's right. Yeah, that's right. You've got supposedly the best running back in the game. It's a terrible game for passing. You know, and Ezekiel Elliott, he had 21 rushes, did he not? Like, he just...
Yeah, 86 yards. So his average was 4.5. So, I mean,
that's the kind of game where you have a running back have 25, 26, 27 rushes, because it's just too hard for quarterbacks to get it through the air.
Because the weather was terrible. And in full credit to Dak, I mean, he's still got people out there. He was never going to score a touchdown in the air. It had to be through Zeke. But it's Jason Garrett. It's Jason Garrett's calls. I think he plays too conservative.
He's always been considered as a very conservative coach.
Yep. And he hates playing from behind, which, you know, it was a tight game, but they coming into the second half, they were up, but yeah, he does not conservative at all. And it shows. He makes the worst calls. That call was ridiculous. And I don't know if it's blind faith or a blind faith is probably not the word, but blind loyalty. But I think Jerry Jones needs to get rid of him. And I know I'm not the only Cowboys fan that thinks that, because
he's always been a puppet there, because he's a bit of a yes man supposedly to Jerry Jones, and that's what Jerry Jones likes.
Let's say I could put probably four or five coaches that I could think of, one coach off the top of my head. Like that team, that Dallas Cowboys team is a great team, offensive and defensive. They're a really, really good team. You could put, like, say you threw a Cliff Kingsbury in there, just as an example, I guess what I'm sort of getting at is there's about four or five coaches with this side that would put the Dallas Cowboys way better than what they are now, which is 6-5. It's just,
well, why not? Yeah, if they're going to be so conservative offensively, like the new offensive coordinator that they brought in this year, Kellen Moore. Why not elevate? Is he the ones making these decisions? Is Jason Garrett overruling him on certain play calls? Like, Jason Garrett's a former quarterback himself. It's just odd. It's just odd that why he plays so conservatively.
And Kellen Moore doesn't play conservative. The reason I would say that, there was the first game when they played the New York Giants. And everyone was raving about Kellen Moore because it looked like there was an offensive-minded offensive coordinator that, you know, decided to make the, let's not call them scary calls, but just out-of-the-box calls. That worked.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think that's what sort of gave everybody that view, was because they beat the living crap out of the bad teams. And whenever they've come up against decent teams, they just haven't been able to get the job done.
And I know they have the team. They're just not going to, with this coach, they're not going to get the job done. It's good that the Eagles lost in that game, but so we were able to stay on top. But man, we'll sneak into the playoffs, but we're not going to make any noise. At all.
The Cowboys will most likely be the lowest seed of the divisional winners for sure.
Okay. I'm getting over the it's Jason Garrett, but I'll get over him. I won't sort of focus on any other games, because the game I wanted to focus on is tied into the start of the week, but I'll let you sort of go into the games if you want.
For me, like, you know, we talk about your Cowboys, I guess, you know, we'll talk about the Saints for a little bit. Like, that was just an insane sort of game.
Yeah.
The Saints are a little bit beat up on defense at the moment. No Marshawn Lattimore. So that really didn't help. But just the scary thing, a couple of scary things was letting Kyle Allen make a comeback the way that they did. You know, obviously the Saints offense can still put up points, but for them to just let Carolina come back into that game as easily as what it was as I was watching it, and it was very easy, is a little concerning.
They've
got Christian McCaffrey, who's one of the best offensive players in the game. So that helps them a lot.
I think they kept him in check, and that's what I thought. Though when I watched it, I thought, Christian McCaffrey, 22 carries for 64 yards. He still had a great receiving game, but I thought
that's the problem. It's not the stopping of the run. It's the stopping of the pass and the big play. The Saints have been guilty of that for a few years now. That they stuff you in the run, and then once they can't help but give up the big plays. And in the passing game, like they're so prone to it, it's a little scary. And then when you don't have your best corner in Marshawn Lattimore there, and you've got guys like PJ Williams, Marcus Williams there, Eli Apple, they're just not up to Marshawn Lattimore's lofty standards, unfortunately, and they can't help but give up the big play.
Carolina did deserve to win that game. Joey Sly,
If Sly could kick a couple of extra points, and he misses that field goal in the end after that horrendous BS overturn of a pass interference. Like, give me a break. I get it. This is revenge on Sean Payton. Like, it's not a conspiracy. I'm telling you right now, it's a revenge on Sean Payton, by the crew chief that's in New York. Like, that was pathetic. How many egregious calls have been made this year, and yet they want to make that call at the end of the game in New Orleans, and they overturn it. The guy, I can't even think of who. It enrages me so much. The guy who got run into, it was sort of almost on like a pick play, but he was nowhere, the ball, he was never going to catch the ball. Even if he made it there on time, he was never going to catch the ball.
I'll go with you that you're right, that it is right, and I'll go with you that there has been calls missed before, but I mean, when you look at it as from a perspective of just as a how that play was, that was technically a foul.
How many times has that been done throughout the year, and coaches have challenged it, and it looks clear and obvious on the replay, and they don't overturn it? Why overturn it there?
I get it. And like you said, it's in New Orleans, so it even makes it worse. But
the crew chief and that. All I'll say is that the ball don't lie. Ball don't lie.
After Sly did miss that, didn't they get down the field so easily? New Orleans.
Oh my God.
It felt like they got down.
And that's the thing. How easy did they just march down the field?
When you got Michael,
they almost scored a touchdown. They were looking for the score. They weren't looking to just set up, to get themselves in field goal range. They were looking for the score.
And they were in range to get the score, I thought. But I mean, they sort of got to a point where they didn't, and once they sort of hit where they needed to, then. They had a really good, Will Lutz is a great kicker, a really, really good kicker.
He's unbelievable. So, but the only thing that sort of that worries me a little bit about the Saints as well is not having a clear number two receiver. Like Michael Thomas is going to eat, and he's going to eat a lot, but that's the concerning part. Jared Cook is a terrific pass-catching tight end. He played great. Ted Ginn is always, because of his speed, Ted Ginn is always a downfield threat. And I think they've sort of got to get more involved. Traquan Smith, now that he's back from injury, they need to get him going So, if they do decide to double team, or that, the pass to Michael Thomas isn't there, they've got other downfield threats. If you want to stay in the division, then I thought the Bucks and the Falcons was an interesting game. I thought the Falcons sort of bubble got burst by the turnover machine that is Jameis Winston.
Another two
first half interceptions. But Chris Godwin, like, my God. Like, what a 1-2 punch they are, him and Mike Evans. Like, they're unbelievable. And, on a sort of pass-heavy offense. And imagine if they had a guy who doesn't throw picks.
That's true. They would be a lot better.
Imagine a guy who doesn't throw 47 interceptions a year.
It's interesting. You're right. I mean, you're exactly right. And they would be a lot better, but... Do they just still not have a decent defensive team? Because I think both teams lack
in defense. But like I said, the last couple of weeks, like, the Falcons have been really good defensively, and that's probably just that's just a two game stretch, and they sort of clicked for a little while. But Tampa sort of really ramped up the defense in this game. Like, that they forced two fumbles on Matt Ryan. He was hit 13 times and he was sacked 6 times. Like, Matt Ryan was put on his back a lot.
That was the biggest thing that I sort of took away, I guess. Not so much that Bucky's, or especially in that game, the defense isn't that bad, but I guess the thing, They should be a lot better. Like, and you're right. I mean, if we go back to Winston, he seems to be the interception master. But you've got Godwin there. Ronald Jones, I think his second year quarterback is starting to play.
Him and Peyton Barber. Like, they've got two decent running backs. Like, as a 1-2 punch there as well. Like, they're no slouches at the running back position,
They've got Ndamukong Suh up front.
Defensively, they've got Ndamukong Suh, who scored a fumble recovery touchdown.
And the big offensive lineman
Vita Vea scored a touchdown as well. So I did hear that on the radio after the Sunday slate of games that a couple of radio hosts. Mike Golick Jr. was sort of celebrating the fat guy touchdown. So
unit.
both of them are, but that's just like that's excellent. Just excellent.
That was sort of, again, for me, that was sort of the games I wanted to touch on for this week. You want to move on to some news?
We might as well sort of slide on to some news. I thought it was funny at the end of the Lions Redskins game that Dwayne Haskins missed the final play, no pun intended, the final play victory formation, because he was over in the crowd taking selfies. And he didn't realize that there was still like 3 seconds left in the game. So they had to get Case Keenum to go out there and go in victory formation. I think he's the former Redskins great. I think it's Joe Theismann. He apparently wore the number 7, and Dwayne Haskins asked him if he could wear the number 7. And he granted it to him, and he sort of called it wrong and unprofessional. And, I tend to agree with him a little bit. Like, you got to have a little bit of awareness about the game. Like, okay, it's terrific. You've got the victory, but did he really put them in that greater position for a victory? Like, he was 13 for 29.
Yeah.
156 yards. Like, that's just... He's not really. He's got some good young players to throw to. McLaurin, Looks like he's a good wide receiver. So, and I think Darius Geis, I think this was his first game back since week one. So that's a good thing for their running back stocks, that they don't have to sort of rely too much on Adrian Peterson on his aging legs. But yeah, that's sort of a, you know, even though that's two sort of dumpster fire teams. Just, yeah, the Lions, oh my God, like they're just playing awful football at the moment.
Yeah, they are.
Just, oh man, three interceptions for Driscoll. And it looks like now, as we sort of, you know, segue into a little bit of news, it looks like Jeff Driscoll, he's got a hamstring injury, and there's three games on Thanksgiving, which is Thursday in America, Friday for us. And they've, yeah, the Lions, that's basically the Lions Super Bowl every year, is the Thanksgiving Day game. And it looks like Jeff Driscoll could be out. So that means they've got their top, you know, their first two choice quarterbacks gone, and they could be relying on an undrafted rookie called Bluff. So, like, just that game against the Bears could just be absolute trash on Thanksgiving Day. So that'll be interesting to sort of, it'll be interesting to see what that sort of game, or you know, what that game sort of comes through with on Thanksgiving. You know, there's two other games. I think Dallas, the Cowboys are on. I think it's against Buffalo, is it not?
Yeah, I believe so.
I think it's in Dallas, and then I think the late game is the Saints and the Falcons. So they'll be interesting games, but that first game kickoff, that Lions Bears game, is going to be, oof, that could be one smelly, smelly game.
Oh, the Dallas, I'll bring up the Bills later because, the Bills are just way above expectations, but I don't think it's going to be, it's not an easy game for Dallas.
Especially. That's right. Defensively, they're a really good team. That you're not going to get, you're probably not going to get beaten by Josh Allen. Like, you're going to get beaten by the running game, Frank Gore and Devin Singletary. Oh,
Mr. Evergreen Frank Gore, like 42 years old. He's ridiculous.
Shout out to Frank Gore going past Barry Sanders into number three in the all-time rushing list. So it just proves that the longevity, like, he's just got the type of body that can handle the beating of a running back.
Yeah, well, that's right. But it's a running back, you know. Technically, well, they don't really like. You know, I've never seen a running back last this long.
They just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the reason why Emmitt Smith and Walter, not so much Walter Payton, but you know, the reason why Emmitt Smith is his rushing records just probably never going to get caught is because he was just that damn good. Like, you know, he still played over a long time, but he was just something else.
Hmm. A couple of the big news is that that sort of stood out for me was the Baltimore Ravens. Matt Skura looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the season.
I did see that.
Suffering a knee injury, it's problematic, I guess, for the Ravens for the fact of looks like at the moment Skura's sitting second in the Pro Bowl voting. So, and he was. As a pass blocker, to have a pass blocker that's got an ultra hype mobile passer in Lamar Jackson, to have someone that can run with him, has been great. But it looks like he's going to be out the rest of the season. So,
well, Sanders a very pivotal, position on that front line. Not to say that the other ones aren't, but you know, Sanders extremely pivotal, and now they're going to a rookie. Patrick McCara, and he filled in a little bit for Sakura in that Monday night game. So, he'll obviously be getting first team reps now. So it'll be intriguing to see how this affects Baltimore's offense.
I think it will a little at the start because, like you just said, center's a pivotal position. But when you've got a hyper mobile passer in Lamar Jackson, that's going to be completely mobile. You've got to make sure you can stay with him, which is not easy, obviously. They've got the Niners next week.
Ravens have got the Niners next week, so it'll be fun to see what that Niners defense can do against Lamar Jackson if anybody can catch him.
Yeah, exactly right.
Just a quick segue into the Niners, we'll find out about them, in the next couple of weeks. You know, obviously they've got the Ravens. They go to New Orleans. They're home to Atlanta, home to the Rams, and then they're at Seattle. So they've got some tough games coming up as well. You know, especially in the next 2 weeks. So we'll see how they sort of fare in the next couple of weeks to see if they look like they're the real deal, but you've got to keep testing yourself against the better teams, and we'll see how they go in the next 2 weeks when they go against a couple of decent teams.
Yeah, and look, if they can keep, yeah, you're right. I think if they keep playing the way they're playing, it's hard to pick against them at the moment purely on their defense. It's hard to pick against them at this time.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tough one for tipping next week, like who to tip, whether to tip Baltimore or whether to tip the 49ers. So I don't know. I've got nothing.
I don't know how much a big of a loss Skura is going to be. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know because I haven't picked it, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
I jumped in early and done my tips now, and I'm pretty sure I tipped Baltimore, but it's a flip of the coin. I thought that was sort of interesting just to sort of see the Niners road home and to see what they can produce over the next fortnight, and to put themselves a stamp on. On the top of the NFC and to get themselves a bye in the first round of the playoffs.
The NFL looked like they've named 25 semi-finalists in their class of 2020 Hall of Fame. The biggest ones that stood out for me, and this is probably because how good they were as receivers, was Hines Ward and Isaac Bruce were named in the semi-finalists. Just consistently solid receivers, those two. They're both solid receivers. It looks like they're in a. I don't know why you have to be a semifinalist in the class of 2020. Like, I don't get the whole. I don't know. There's a lot of players to pick, obviously, but I don't get how you've got 25 people that you had to name and they're semi-finalists. So I don't.
Yeah, semi-finalists, and then you got to wiggle it down to, wiggle it down to 10 or something like that.
10 or something, yeah. 8 to 10, yeah. My other news was sort of, you bring it up earlier about Ramsey, going after Peters after that Ravens victory, but. You've already touched on that, so we can move on.
Yeah, it wasn't much there. Just a little bit of sort of quarterback news as it sort of as it comes to next week. Mason Rudolph, who got hooked in his game against Cincinnati.
How do you get hooked against Cincinnati? Maybe he still had concussion.
Oh, my God.
He had concussions still. Who knows?
Oh, man, it was like 8 for 16, it was like 80 something yards or something like that. I don't even think it was that. And so they've now named Devlin Duck Hodges for next week against the Browns. And I smell a setup. I don't think they wanted to play Rudolph next week against the Browns. So I don't know. I smell a setup.
Why? I don't. Yeah, what's the reasoning? What will be the reason?
Just to sort, no, I don't know, just to sort of ease tensions a little bit in the game. But I don't think they wanted to put him out there. Yeah, just to sort of I don't know. I think just to ease tensions.
It kind of
in
makes
game.
Sense, I suppose. Like if you really boil it down, it kind of makes sense, I suppose. But
I smell setup.
I guarantee that'll be like. You know, there's a lot of decent games going on, but that'll be the game that everyone will want to watch.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Everybody's going to be tuning in.
I mean, the 49ers Ravens, like you said, but that one, yeah.
So, I think that's, yeah, just sort of to take a little bit of sting out of that game. Like, you know, obviously Mason Rudolph didn't look very good, and that's kind of hard to do against Cincinnati. So, and just, yeah, while we're on the Cincinnati Bengals, the Ryan Finley experiment has failed miserably, and they're going back to Andy Dalton.
It's failed miserably.
Miserably. Miserably is not even a word for it. Like, just such an inefficient quarterback. I get it. He's got nothing to throw to, and you know, if you've got nothing to throw to, and you've got a horse like Joe Mixon there, just feature the running game. Well, it just, yeah, I don't know, but yeah,
they got the Jets next week. I didn't think the Jets were going to go as good as they did this week, but this week's just gone. But you know, that would, if I had to pick anything of their lead, and this would be the one that I'll think that they can beat. But
the Jets have been playing good over the last.
This is true. I mean, they are at home. I mean, If they don't beat them, you know, they've only got the Patriots the week after. But then they have the Dolphins, so they could still at least probably, and then two games against the Browns, so they could. Yeah, I don't know. I think that this will be the one if they're gonna win. But who knows?
That's it. I think they've got like a 66% chance of scoring the number one pick. So. I think they'll be. I don't know why they didn't just keep continuing on with Ryan Finley.
That
number one pick. You want Chase Young? Then go for it.
Well, that'll be a lead-in sort of question. Oh, tickets as low as $9. My God. I love reading back how low the tickets are. You know, Saints Falcons at Mercedes Benz tickets as low as 63. Cowboys 51, the Bears 79, which I still think is ridiculous, but I know how big.
$9, you may as well just say free.
Tickets as low as $9. I love it.
Gold coin donation.
Say they get the number one pick. Do they go after a quarterback?
I've heard this. I've heard this argument as well. Do they chase a quarterback? Oh man, I don't.
And
I'm really worried about Tua. I really am. It just doesn't look like he's. It just doesn't look like he's got the durability and body type to be able to play the game. Like he's just hurt so often.
Yeah.
And what the hell's going to happen when he's up against men? In the NFL, he's going to get pummeled.
Yeah, that is my biggest concern with him is that he's been injured so long, and it's just so long. Sorry, he's been injured so many times in short periods of time. So in that game, but like, I'm not going to blame the coach because he must have thought. Well, I don't know what he thought, to be completely honest, but in that game, I mean, yes, it was the first, you know, one game, but I think he did enough to prove how good of a quarterback he is. If he's injury prone, you're not going to pick him, but the Bengals need a quarterback.
Well, it's either got to be, I think, you know, the sort of the two clear guys are Joe Burrow from LSU and Justin Herbert from Oregon. I think they're the two sort of clear. Quarterbacks at the top of the class, so you know that they could probably take one of the goes. But you know, that's, I mean, the Bengals took Ryan Finley as a rookie this year, and that hasn't worked out. So I don't know. I really don't know what they do.
A lot of stuff, but I think exactly. They start with a quarterback. I think they start with the quarterback.
They could even try and if they've got picks, second, third round picks, and if Tua begins to drop. But I know exactly what's going to happen. Like we all know exactly what's going to happen. Tua's going to drop. He'll drop to the New England Patriots. The Patriots will pick him, and they'll have another 15-year dynasty. Like, it's just sticking out a mile.
You reckon?
Sticking out a mile.
I think, if we're talking that, I think that, you know that, what's his name? From Clemson.
I'll take
it. You know that Clemson quarterback that he's a once-in-a-generation player.
Oh, Trevor Lawrence.
He's got the beachy sort of looking hair. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence. That's the guy.
He's still got this year and next year. So he won't be coming out for another 2 years.
And that is the quarterback that everyone wants, because he took them to the title last year.
They haven't been playing real good at all this year, Clemson.
I just think, I don't know, you're right, maybe Tua falls to New England, but I could see Brady playing two more years, and then this guy, they somehow get this guy, somehow, I don't know how.
Somehow get him.
and then it just becomes another dynasty again, which is ridiculous. They'll get him. It's just,
I don't know, just sort of listening to a little bit, I don't sort of take much notice of the college game, but just sort of the few things that I hear that Trevor Lawrence has dipped a little bit this year.
Yeah.
Apparently the ACC isn't that great. You know, Clemson is clearly the best team in the ACC, and they're not waxing people like they should be.
Yeah, okay.
They should be just going out there and just beating the crap out of everybody in that conference, and they're just not doing it. So, Trevor Lawrence has still got this year and next year, so everyone's just going to have to
Isn't that ridiculous?
Sort of sit back and cool the Jets, on Trevor Lawrence.
Studs and duds of the week. Did you have anybody lined up on your end? I've already mentioned it, but my dad's Jason Garrett. Because he's a goddamn dud. I'm going to keep whinging because the problem is I don't see Jerry Jones punting him. And if Jerry has somehow decided, he's also come in and been a little
critical of him this week.
He doesn't normally do. But then my concern is like you just said with the Kellen Moore. My concern is if they decide to go with Kellen Moore, I think Jerry Jones likes to go internal and build whatever. Jerry Jones does what Jerry Jones does, and they're the most they're $6 billion worth or whatever they are. But
it's something ridiculous.
They need not an established coach, but they need an established coach.
They just need somebody with a little bit of flair.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got a quarterback like Dak Prescott. You simply can't have your number one receiver in Amari Cooper be targeted twice and no receptions. Do you honestly think that Sean Payton and Drew Brees would allow Michael Thomas to have two targets and no receptions?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's
sort of happened. It doesn't happen as much. Like Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, but he still gets his work. That just can't happen. Like that simply cannot happen to have your number one receiver who has been great since coming to the Dallas Cowboys. You just can't have him have two targets. And like you said, the weather plays a part in it. But other people still got their receptions. Gallup, Cobb.
Yeah.
It just can't happen. It can't happen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I just think the sooner they get rid of the Gallup, and the better. Speaking of Dak Prescott, they're gonna have to. I bet any money they franchise tag in next year.
That's what it's looking like.
I bet they franchise tag him. They're going to have to. They're probably might do it for one or two years.
That's what it's looking like. Yep, that's what it's looking like.
Because, you know, he can look, he can, he has, I think he's got leverage now. You know, he's having a decent season. You've got Jared Goff and Carson Wentz that signed like $30+ million.
He can easily say, I'm
worth over $35 million. Look how good I'm playing this year.
As opposed to those contracts anyway.
Yeah, that's right, but that's the market at the moment because that was only signed this year. Exactly. So
yeah, that's right. So I got two duds. Just one real quick one. The Oakland Raiders. Like what team stepped off the bus in New York? John Gruden. Like what team stepped off the bus there? He can't go into New York against the, you know, okay, the Jets are playing okay over the last couple of weeks. You can't go in there and lay an egg of 3 points against the Jets. Come on.
No, not when you had
like Derek Carr got hooked. That's what I mean. Derek Carr got hooked. Yeah. He got hooked. Mike Glennon.
I forgot. I haven't heard that name for ages.
Mike Glennon. That's all I'll say.
No, I haven't heard that name for ages. That's awesome. Mike Glennon. No, I completely agree. And Josh Jacobs didn't seem to. I don't know. They didn't run any plays for him, I guess.
I don't get it. You know, and again, the weather there was bad, and that's sort of good for running backs. But and the other dud was the relationship between the Green Bay Packers and California.
that they just can't seem to win in California.
It's just not a match made in heaven. Like just simply do not travel to California. Easy.
No, they really don't. that's a good one. Yeah, no, you're right. They really don't at the moment. It's ridiculous. They're gonna have to learn, obviously, but yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
You have to. All right, who's your stud?
My start of the week is it's the Buffalo Bills defense. I think I don't think we've talked about their defense that much. Their defense. Huh. They're the third, you know, they're not 8-3 for no reason. You know, no one can say they had them, you know, second in their division.
At eight and three.
And the third best defensive team in the NFL. They are the third best defensive team. And
the Broncos looked oof. They looked horrible there. Brandon Allen was shocking in that game, but all credit to the Bills. Like that, they are playing. Like we said earlier, they are playing way above expectation of what a lot of people would have thought that the Bills are capable of.
Well, the only game they've lost three games. The Philadelphia one was the one. It was a bit of a weird one. The only really game that they, they lost, and they didn't really lose that much, was against the Patriots. So. They've only got.
They were close. They didn't get blown off the park by New England at all.
No. And they've got they haven't got the greatest run home. They've got Dallas or at Dallas. I don't know. I'm not very keen on picking Dallas this week. They've got the Ravens and then they got the Pats finishing up with the Jets in Pittsburgh. So, The Raven and the Pats will, see them out, if you know what I mean. As in, like, that'll see, I guess, their credentials. They'll finish second in that AFC East. But, I just think they're a stud because they're a team we don't talk about that much because they're not a glamour side. They're just not a side that you always want to – we just don't talk about that much. Right. But, defense has kept them – yeah, 8-3, and they're doing so well, which is great. Yeah. How about your dud? Oh no, to be stud, man. The stud of the week.
For me, my stud of the week was the career day that Rashad Penny had.
Yeah.
I thought he did what was absolutely asked of him as a running back, a backup running back behind Chris Carson, and you know they featured him in that game against Philadelphia. He had 14 rushes for 129 yards, a touchdown. You know, he did last of him as a backup running back when your number's called and they're going to start calling plays for you. And he stepped up. He stepped up to the plate.
So what are they? I mean, you're right. Yeah, oh, they deserve it, obviously. With the way Chris Carson's sort of playing lately, he does have a bit, you know, he's a case of the fumbles. Moving forward with them, what are they, you know, where do they put Rashad Penny?
Well, like, that's what I mean. Like, you know, he's just shown now that he can be a threat if called upon. So that sort of might make other defenses sort of think twice, you know, if they sort of line up two running backs in the backfield or you know, or anything like that. So it just, I think they've sort of, yeah, put it, but they've just put it out there for everybody to, you know, whoever their next opponents are to sort of say, okay, we've got two guys in the backfield now who can do good things. So you're going to have to game plan for that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. He did have a career game. It was 129 yards. Yeah, so yeah, it very, very good career game for him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Just you know, with some of the explosive players that Seattle have got as well. You know, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. You know, they've got good receivers there as well. And if they get their two running backs into decent form, then they'll be a tough out as well.
He actually looks like a decent coming into the sort of playoffs. I reckon Rashad Penny looks like a decent fantasy pickup. Just to throw that out there for any fantasy people. I think
I did have him at the start of the year and he was extremely poor, so I dumped him. But
he's never had the greatest start of the season, but no. You know, yeah.
Getting more involved, which is terrific.
Well, that'll do it for us for this week, week 12 of the NFL. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud, every social you can find on the son of the Final Play podcast. I'm going to put a lot of
we need it in capital letters.
I'm going to put probably on the when we load it up or upload it or put a lot of E's in that there. The Final Play podcast.
Final Play pod. Yeah. Just before we go, it's Thanksgiving coming up. Yeah, obviously not for us, but you know, for Americans out there. Yeah, Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday, and just a little thing that I wanted to steal that I heard last weekend. It comes up with controversial food takes. I thought was an interesting little. Little side note and yeah, sort of people giving their controversial food takes about Thanksgiving things and stuff like that. I don't know if you'd had a thought about it. But my controversial food take, and I'll just say two words: avocado overrated. Boom.
Avocado. I'm trying to tell that to my daughter. Avocado is the most underrated food in anything she reckons.
God. Overrated.
I'd agree because
avocado was so overrated.
Because it's an expensive fruit that really has no sort of taste.
That's right. It's expensive as hell because it's one of those sort of ooh glamour foods that ooh everybody loves this. I bet you if you have a look at bloody avocados 10 years ago, they probably couldn't give those away for 20 cents a friggin' avocado. Now you got to pay $4 for one. Give me a break. Overrated.
So you don't have avocado at all? Actually, I haven't been the last time I had avocado.
No.
Ordinary. Any other sort of fruit or food that was overrated that you sort of had in mind?
No. Onions and gravy. No.
Onions and gravy.
Yeah, onions in gravy.
Oh, I was going to say. No. If you were going to say gravy, I was going to say the hell.
Get the F out of it. No, gravy's the best. But gravy is 1,000% spoiled when you put disgusting, horrible onions in.
I would do, but see, on the, and then if we're talking overrated, I'll throw overrated drinks out, and I know what you'll say to this, but I am not, I'm sorry, I'm not the biggest fan of anything that puts a flavor in goddamn Coke. I hate flavors in Coke.
I think no way!
Say that.
No!
It's pointless.
No.
It never stays
vanilla
around.
Coke is awesome.
No, it's not. It's not. It's completely overrated.
Vanilla Coke and Jim Beam goes together. Oh, like tomato and sauce. Oh my god.
Can't even taste vanilla. Nah, I don't like. It's like flavored water. I don't like it.
Yeah, flavored water, overrated.
Flavored Coke over flavored Coke overrated.
No.
Yes, I knew you'd say that.
Have you ever had Dr. Pepper? Dr. Pepper's awesome. That's flavored cola.
Yeah, I don't like Dr. Pepper.
Oh my god. Nah.
Flavored Coke overrated. Flavored cola overrated. Oh, there you go. I'm gonna think of one next. Yeah.
Try it.
No, I don't like
wild,
it.
Or wild turkey and vanilla Coke.
The underlying theme of what you're saying, bud, is it that you can only try it with alcohol? You've not said vanilla Coke by itself. You've said with wild turkey.
Hey, man, if it's on special at Woolies, I'll go and buy some.
Nah, the two times you've said with Jim Beam and with wild turkey, so I do not believe you.
And on its own.
Sure. Okay. Cool. We'll go with that.
Oh, it's like KFC. It's like KFC chips and potato and gravy. Like they just go together.
I agree with you, but I could find out of 10 people, I reckon find 8 people that do not like having the little potato gravy in their meals with KFC. I agree.
Oh, really? Oh no way. That's awesome. And I don't like the little bun is horrible and disgusting, but it's the best for dipping chips in.
Oh man, oh, I don't know. Yeah, I love it, but man, I don't know why I see people throw it away. It's ridiculous.
Oh my god, you throw the bun away because the bun just doesn't even taste like bread.
No, it doesn't taste like bread.
I don't know what it is. It's like a bread construct. It's not actual bread.
It feels like it weighs half a kilo.
Oh, it's so horrible though. Like it's to me, it's like I can't believe it's not butter. Like I can't believe this is bread.
I can't believe this is bread. After that, have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason.
My name's Miles. Enjoy your Thanksgiving Day games on Friday morning, and we'll see you next week.
Try not to have any vanilla Coke. See you, everyone.
Please, everybody, try vanilla Coke. Everybody. Oh. And cherry Coke. And orange. Actually, no, not orange Coke. Orange Coke's horrible. Orange Coke. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. See, the cherry Coke, nah. Yes. Vanilla Coke, yes. Orange Coke, no.
Nah, flavored Coke, no. Peace.
See ya.